I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time. Our next guest went looking for stories of unexplained beasts and bizarre creatures in the state, and he was not disappointed.
Joining us now is Casey Steinbrink. He's a writer and producer at Who Knew, an arts and culture website covering the Fox Cities. And his piece, Seven Strange Stories of Wisconsin Monsters, plus one from Upper Michigan, is up on our Facebook page. Casey, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, you guys.
Well, you start with probably the most popular Wisconsin monster, the Hodag.
Yeah,
tell
the
us
Hodag.
About that.
Well, the Hodag, a lot of people have heard of the Hodag and they know what the Hodag looks like. But I think the most interesting thing about the Hodag is the guy who discovered or maybe perhaps invented the Hodag. His name was Eugene Shepherd or Gene Shepherd, and he was a well-known prankster in Rhinelander. So the Hodag was probably his most elaborate plan, but it's one that's really stuck with Wisconsin lore through the years. So he told people here, I would like to read a passage of how he described the Hodag.
Sure.
It's from a book called Wisconsin Lore, which I used to do some of the research for this story. And the authors sat down with people all over Wisconsin getting different anecdotes on everything from like the circus to the lumberjack days to Native American legends. And so there's also stories about different weird Wisconsin creatures and ghosts and stuff like that in here too. So here's how Gene Shepherd described the Hodag. He said the animal's back resembled that of a dinosaur, and its tail, which extended to an enormous length, had a spear-like end. Sharp spines 1.5 feet apart lined the spinal column. The legs were short and massive, and the claws were thick and curved, denoting great strength. The broad furrowed forehead was covered with coarse shaggy hair and bore two large horns. From the broad muscular mouth, sharp glistening white teeth protruded. So, sounds pretty creepy.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen a picture of a Hodag, it actually is a little bit more funny looking than creepy, I think, personally. But, so, this hoax that Eugene Shepherd pulled went on for a pretty long time. He took a search party out into the woods where they allegedly killed a Hodag, and there's a really kind of comical picture of this group of men standing around a charred Hodag because apparently they had to use dynamite to take it out.
So what led him to give up on the hoax eventually?
Well, he allegedly captured another Hodag, and he started taking it around with him, a live one, to county fairs. And he had it rigged up so that it would move when people would walk in the tent and people would get all freaked out. So eventually the Smithsonian Institute caught wind of this Hodag story, and they were going to come to check it out. So that's when Gene Shepherd said, okay, I made this all up. It was just a joke. And I don't think too many people were surprised since he there's literally a chapter in this book, Wisconsin Lore, pretty much dedicated to all the little tricks he played on people.
Yeah. So I don't know about this Hodag, Casey. What about one that is maybe more plausible that you had to go, maybe that one is a harder to dismiss?
Well, there is a Wisconsin werewolf known as the Beast of Ray Road. And maybe it's maybe not necessarily a werewolf. No one's ever seen it change. Something changed from a human to a man. But it's this wolf-like, dog-like creature that has shown up in different parts of Wisconsin. And there's been a journalist who – actually, she was working for the Walworth County Week, and she was asked to investigate some of these claims of this wolf beast that people had been seeing. And she ended up quitting her job at the paper and trying to track this Beast of Bray Road, and that made a career out of it, basically. So there are a lot of stories about this wolf-like creature that stands up on two legs and eats with its hands, like palm-like hands. So it has some human-like features and stuff like that. There's a similar one in Michigan known as the Michigan Wolfman. So there are a lot of different theories about what this could be. Some people think it's a cryptological beast called the Wahila, which is a kind of a prehistoric wolf animal. But that's one that, you know, has never really been disproven. Although, you know, of course, a lot of these stories happen to people who happened to be, you know, inebriated at the time, or they were just in one of the stories about the Beast of Bray Road is a guy who is going along the highway picking up roadkill and throwing it in the back of the truck working for the highway department, and when he was getting in his truck, he felt a big bang in the back of the vehicle and looked back and saw this animal taking out the roadkill that he had loaded in the back. So besides – go ahead.
Is there a sense that this one might be a hoax like the Hodag was?
Well, you know – there are skeptics about everything, and I'm a skeptic too, but I'm also a skeptic who believes anything's possible, right? There's weird things out there.
Some of these are really quirky. You write about some human-like creatures known as the Haunchies. I've never heard of the Haunchies before.
Well, the Haunchies, the story goes for the Haunchies, is they were little people who worked for the circus at one time and then left the circus and started their own little colony. And it's the Haunchies... this group of people apparently lived in around Muskego on a plot of land on a place called Mystic Road, which is a pretty good name. but apparently there was a man who sat in a pickup truck who would fire a warning shot if you're getting too close to what they called Haunchyville, where there were these small buildings where the people lived. And if you went into this area, they would come out and beat you up and possibly kill you. So kind of a freaky story, but it's one of those urban legends that it's kind of had some legs.
it's one of the more plausible ones. It doesn't require believing in an otherwise undiscovered form of life. They're people in the legend.
Right. And, you know, you have to keep in mind a lot of these stories are, you know, anecdotes and, and you know, tall tales that get blown up and exaggerated over time. But that's sort of the fun of it, especially as we're in the Halloween season, having those fun stories to tell that are connected to state history.
There's one that I'm really interested in because I used to, I think, drive this stretch of highway around Ridgeway and Dodgeville, and there used to be this old rundown house there, and someone for years had spray-painted Home of Ghost on it.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I used to hear from local people around there about, like, a ghostly dog on that stretch of highway, different manifestations. But tell us what you know about the Ridgeway Ghost.
Well, the Ridgeway Ghost might be the most most well-known ghost in Wisconsin. He's been making appearances since the 1840s. And it can show up as anything. It could be a man who he would show up riding next to someone on a buggy, one of the more interesting stories in this book, Wisconsin Lore, is about some guys who were playing a poker game, and there were three of them at the table, and suddenly there was a fourth person at the table who grabbed the deck and started dealing. And as they would start picking up their cards, when the guy dealt, the cards would zip out of their hand and start flying around the room. So, but again, the authors of this book kind of point out tongue-in-cheek that the Ridgeway Ghost, he has been seen by many persons, some of whom were sober.
I want to get to some of the other creatures, but first, have communities embraced these? I know Rhinelander is big on the Hodag. There's a big Hodag sculpture there. They've made that part of their community. Anybody else taken on their local creature as a logo, a mascot?
Well, you know, not that I'm really aware of, not to the extent of the Hodag. You know, they have the country music festival. The Hodag has even worked his way into mainstream pop culture. He was even featured in a episode of the most recent version of Scooby-Doo, where the meddling kids had to figure out that the Hodag was just a hoax. So I don't know if anything has quite become, you know, to the extent of the Hodag. Although the Paulding Light, which is something our Upper Michigan story, that is kind of a local tourist attraction that the locals, when you talk to them at least, they seem like they very much believe that it's something's going on up there. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Paulding Light before, but it's if you're in the town of Watersmeet, and Watersmeet is famous for being the home of the Nimrods, that's their high school
mascot.
Yeah. There's a place in Watersmeet where you're looking towards Paulding, and you're looking across this valley of power lines, and you see this light that pops up over the valley. It happens every night, and it just kind of – it's a single beam of light that kind of emerges and flickers and grows and then disappears. So it's been unexplained for a really long time. There have been different people who tried to prove it was different things, like car headlights on a distant highway. But then others would say, well, the highway doesn't really run that direction, so it can't be that. And the Sci-Fi Network even went out there to investigate it, and they determined that they couldn't conclude what the light actually was.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting one. And, you know, we're not just talking about land creatures and lights. It sounds like there are some strange things going on in Wisconsin water, too.
Yeah, we have – in our article, we have several stories of lake monsters. And there are probably a lot more out there that I haven't included in this article. But some of the more interesting ones, one near Madison in Lake Mendota, there's a popular character called Bozho. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him. But he's sort of a good-natured water monster apparently. And the one of the most often told stories about Bozho is these two UW students were sunbathing in the 70s by the lake, and they had their feet dangling in the water. And the girl thought her boyfriend was tickling her feet because she kept feeling something tickle the soles of her feet. But then she looked over at him and saw he was sound asleep. So she looked down in the water and saw this face of a sea serpent looking up at her and apparently was smiling at her with a mischievous grin. And so after that people started having sightings of this Bozho all the time, and apparently he would tip over people's canoes, which, you know, if you fall out of your canoe is a pretty good excuse that a sea monster tipped you over.
Named Bozho.
Bozho. Casey, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks for having me, guys.
Casey Steinbrink is a writer and producer at Who Knew. That's an arts and culture website covering the Fox Cities. We've got a link to his article on the Monsters of Wisconsin on the Central Time Facebook page. You can also read up on monsters in Devil's Lake and Lake Winnebago as well, so check that out.
Be curious to know if there are any local monsters where you live, too. Maybe something of local lore that we've missed that Casey doesn't cover in his article.
Or a ghost story, yeah.
Yep, 'tis the season to think about ghosts. You can do that at the Central Time Facebook page. And coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll find out why the moose population is on the decline in Minnesota and elsewhere, and what wildlife biologists are trying to do about it.
And pumpkins will be the subject of our Food Friday segment. We're not just talking about seeds. We'll learn about some new ways to get creative with them in the kitchen, savory and sweet, I think.
And we'll be joined by conservative columnist Ann Coulter. We'll talk to her about her new book. It's called Never Trust a Liberal Over Three.
That's all coming up tomorrow on Central Time.
Coming up after the news, some scary book recommendations just in time for Halloween. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.